How's everybody doing? I you know, for the English ministry, we don't really lose an hour of sleep, so it's okay. We just got to rush out the door a little bit more than usual. But I'm so glad that you're here and you're awake. But praise the Lord. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you into this place. Father God, we declare that you are a God that loves us, that has displayed your amazing grace in our life, and that we have this privilege of being your children. We allow you to have access. Would you open up our ears, our heart, so that we can encounter with you? Because we know, Lord, that when we meet with you and when we encounter you, something amazing happens. That is the change and the transformation of our being. And so, God, that is our prayer, that may each day we become more like Jesus. God, I pray for myself. May not simply be a speaker of your word, Lord, because you know that's just easy. God, I pray that I will be a doer of your words as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if any of you have ever flown a kite before. A very exciting thing, isn't it? My kids actually try to fly a kite. One day, usually when we were in New York, what we used to do with the kids is after dinner, we would take them out just to work off some energy. And often we'll go to the playground in the back in the school, which is right behind us. And there's another parking lot that's like across the street from us. And that the kids will play. They'll ride the scooters or their skateboards and just have a lot of fun. And one day they saw this person flying the kite and they were just simply amazed. And, you know, when kids are amazed, you know what that means, right? That basically means they want it. And so my kids are smart now, right? They're very smart because they know who to ask for it. And it's not me. They don't come ask that, Daddy, can we buy a new kite? They go ask Mommy because Daddy's answer is no. Mommy's answer is, oh, okay. And Mommy's great because Mommy always is able to find the most cheapest option for them. And so here it is. They finally got their kite, and they're so excited, and they want to go fly a kite. And they ate down their dinner as quickly as possible because they just wanted to go to the playground and fly their kite. And so here it is, the two older girls, they're trying to fly this kite. And it's such an amazing scene to watch young kids so excited about something. So they're trying to fly the kite. The first thing they did was they take the kite and they threw it up in the air as high as they could, hoping that it'll fly. But you know what happens. It's called gravity, right? Blah. And I'm watching this. They're doing this a few times. And blah, they realize, like, okay, this is not going to work. And so now they really begin to think. And so they begin to hold on the end of the line, and they try to run as fast as they can, just like an airplane, so that the kite would take off. But instead of the kite taking off, it was just dragging on the floor. Sometimes the kite may reach a few inches or feet off the ground, but then gravity takes over. And plop. They learned a very painful lesson, a very powerful lesson that day, that if you want to fly a kite, you need wind. Without wind, the kite's not going to go anywhere. It's amazing how wind is so necessary. And I believe that there is a powerful lesson that many of us as Christians have failed to learn. And that is, without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for us to live a fruitful life. It is impossible for our life to soar as high as we can possibly be. And this is a lesson that most of us have not learned, because the Holy Spirit is so essential. But when it comes to understanding of the Holy Spirit, most of us are a little bit confused or unaware of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. Our sermon series, our new sermon series, is called The Holy Spirit. And this sermon series is designed for us to get a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. But before we jump into the who and the what of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to examine for us what our posture towards the Holy Spirit should be. Today's passage is found in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. You could read right there along with me. Verse 1 reads, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God was not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'Can somebody be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." We know this passage pretty well because this is the passage in which we have the most famous verse that most of us, every one of us, know, John 3:16, right? But this is the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, and it's quite an amazing conversation, actually. Who is Nicodemus? Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Not only is he a Pharisee, but he is a ruling member of the Sanhedrin. What does that mean? That basically means he's skippity sigma, right? That's right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. Thank you. I Googled that up. Thank you. Right. He's basically skippity sigma. What that basically means is that he is a person of influence and power, right? The Sanhedrin, what is the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin were made up of 70 men that rule Jerusalem, that rule Jewish people, and they decided on all the cases that were brought before them. In fact, Jesus, when he was brought to trial, he was brought before the Sanhedrin. And so this Nicodemus person, he is intelligent because he's a Pharisee, right? He is influential and he is powerful. But yet he was amazed by the work that Jesus did. But he was also a little afraid. But out of his curiosity, he couldn't help himself. He decided to go see Jesus at night. And in the conversation, Jesus tells him, like, listen, you want to enter in the kingdom of heaven? The only way to enter in the kingdom of heaven is very simple. You need to be born again. And in the conversation, Nicodemus says, oh, this is so silly. How can a person be born again? You can't go back into your mom's wombs and then all of a sudden be birthed again. Jesus says, oh, of course not. The only way that a person can be reborn again is through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, Jesus gives us this verse in verse 8, and it causes most of us sometimes to scratch our head. But in this verse, Jesus reveals to us the nature of the Holy Spirit through an image. And he says that the Holy Spirit, which brings rebirth to us, is like the wind. This is an image that Jewish people are very familiar with. Because, you know, Jewish people are very practical. They're not conceptual like our Western thinking. Like, they're very practical. When they encounter God with a stone, they say, God is like a sitting stone. Right? Very simple. Right? And so when they think about the Spirit of God, they see God as the wind. And this is when they hear that, they know this is referring to the Spirit. And why is the Spirit referred to the wind? This image of the wind is so amazing. Jesus basically says this. The wind, you can hear it coming, but you don't know which direction it is. Right? The wind is amazing that you can't really control it. It comes whenever it pleases. And this image of the wind is so important for us to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Because when we think about wind, wind has power, doesn't it? Right? Wind has power because wind can push something and move it. I used to live in the East Coast and in New York and Long Island. That's part of what is called Hurricane Alley. And so hurricanes usually starts from Florida and goes all the way up East Coast, right? And every once in a while, you know, most of the time we get tropical storms. But every once in a while we get a hurricane. And when the hurricane comes, it is powerful. There's not only rain, but wind can reach up past over 100 miles. Now, I don't know if any of you have experienced 100-mile winds, right? In New York, we have these giant oak trees and maple trees. And when Hurricane Irene came, it was like a bowling ball that knocked down all of these trees on the street. That is how powerful wind can be. And so when Jesus gives us the image of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us the Holy Spirit is like a wind because it is powerful. The wind, the Holy Spirit, has the power to change our life. The wind, the Holy Spirit, has power to change the direction and the course of our life. For some of us, we were dead to our sins, and all of a sudden, we change course and we have new life. And so that is the amazing power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has power to change and to bring healing on a miraculous level. That is power. But the Holy Spirit also has energy, right? Because wind has energy. If you think about it, you can't control the wind. You can only harness it, right? Just like we have, you know, the windmills out in the ocean. We're trying to collect that energy. You can't control the wind. You can only try to harness it. Let it take you. Not only is that, but the wind also does whatever it pleases. You don't know when the wind will come. The wind can blow from the north sometimes. Right? And by the way, if it blows from the north, it means it's cold. In the East Coast, when air is blown from the north, it's cold because it's coming from Canada. Right? If it blows from the east, it's cold too, because that basically means it's cold air. Now, if it's coming from the west, it's a beautiful day in New York. But the wind, you don't get to decide which way the wind goes. It could change so rapidly. And that is exactly the Holy Spirit that Jesus tells us. That the Holy Spirit comes whenever it pleases, does whatever it likes, unexpectedly. Because like the wind, you and I can't control it. You and I can't manipulate it. We can't command it. Because, I mean, there are certain traditions in of Christianity that basically believes that we can somehow control the Holy Spirit. Right? Some believe that the Holy Spirit's present when people are speaking in tongues. But the Holy Spirit's like the wind. You can't control it. You can't dictate what the Holy Spirit wants to do. By saying that one must speak in tongues in order to see the Holy Spirit present, that's trying to, like, control the wind, right? That's trying to, like, harness the wind. Some believe that, you know, they call themselves healers because they believe that they can heal people. But isn't that trying to command the Holy Spirit? Isn't that trying to control the Holy Spirit? Because if the Holy Spirit is wind, it comes whenever it pleases. And it goes wherever it likes. It does whatever it wants to do. We can neither control it, we can neither manipulate it, or we can neither be selective about it. Because the Holy Spirit is like the wind. Not only is a wind a very powerful image of the Holy Spirit, there are two other images that we often associate with the Holy Spirit. One of it is we're very familiar with. And that is the dove, right? Well, all of us as Christians, when we see the dove, what do we see? We know, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. I don't know if any of you have seen doves in person. Right? Doves are the most gentle birds. When they make a noise, it's often like, cool. It's very gentle, soft, peaceful. When we think of dove, we see peace and gentleness and order. And most of us, when we experience the Holy Spirit, that's how we believe the Holy Spirit should be. Because we believe when the Holy Spirit is present, you and I feel peace. We feel a sense of gentleness. The Holy Spirit is not chaotic. There's order to it. It's like when we read Scripture and all of a sudden, like a new information pops up and we say, that's the Holy Spirit. Because see, that's so gentle. And in fact, in most of our evangelical tradition, we believe that the Holy Spirit is peaceful and gentle. It doesn't rock the boat. It has a nice, simple flow to it. And we look at the charismatic and we say, man, you guys are strange. Right? You guys are strange because the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. I'd just like to tell you, if the Holy Spirit is like the wind, we do not get to decide in how the Holy Spirit chooses to manifest itself. There's another image of the Holy Spirit that most of us probably aren't familiar with, but it is an image that is very common understood among early Christians. It is the image of the wild goose, right? Celtic Christians used to call the Holy Spirit the wild goose. I don't know if any of you have seen goose before, right? There's a lot of goose in America. They're Canadian, by the way. You know, and they're here legally, right? They immigrated legally, okay? Nobody can do to kick them out. They're federally protected. That's why they're not in the barbecue shops in the Chinese restaurants, okay? Because we like roast goose more than we like roast duck, right? So they're federally protected, right? And, you know, those goose, they make all the obnoxious noise. Mah! Mah! Right? Those goose, they make all the obnoxious, and they walk around like they own the place. Right? They do whatever they want. In the East Coast, I think maybe, you know, in New York, I guess goose takes on the personality of the area they're in. Because in California, I saw some goose yesterday. A little more chill, a little more laid back. Must be the California sunshine. But in New York, those goose, they're obnoxious. They're rude. They do whatever they want. Because I remember one day I was, you know, goose crosses the street. And they walk on the street, whatever they want. And you can't do anything about it because they're federally protected. So here I am, I'm driving, and I'm behind the goose, right? And you know the goose, taking their time, strolling. I'm in New York, so I'm a New Yorker. I'm impatient. So I honked the horn. You know what the goose did? Turned around and looked at me and go, meh, and still took its time to walk slowly, right? That's the goose. The goose doesn't care. They don't operate on your time. They're rambunctious. They're disruptive. They don't care. They have their own time frame of doing things. And the earlier Christians believed that the Holy Spirit is also like the wild goose. That when the Holy Spirit comes, it didn't ask you if they want to come. The Holy Spirit comes and disrupts your life. Right? The Holy Spirit didn't ask you, oh, can I come here now? When the Holy Spirit comes, it comes whenever it chooses. Right? It could be messy and chaotic when the Holy Spirit comes sometimes, because that is the wild goose. And the wild goose is elusive. You can't contain it. It does whatever it wants. You try to hold on to a wild goose, what is it going to do? It's going to bite you, shake, try to do whatever. And that is also the image of the Holy Spirit. But some of us, we're like, oh, the Holy Spirit only works in this gentleness, in this control environment. Well, the charismatics, when they see, they're like, oh, yes, that's all we see is the wild goose. We're not worried about the dove. We want the wild goose. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in a way that you don't want it to, when the Holy Spirit comes and disrupts your life, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will do whatever it pleases. Because there are times I'm sitting in the library, when I was church planting, I'm sitting in the library and I have my headphones on, and I'm listening to a worship song, and I'm in the library and I'm crying. Right? I mean, you know, I'm a guy. If you're going to cry, you go to a bathroom or something where nobody sees you. But here I'm in the library, and tears are rolling off my eyes because the Holy Spirit says, I don't care where you are. Holy Spirit can be very disruptive, and it can be very messy. It can be very chaotic. It can be very scary. It can be very unusual. That's the wild goose. It can be very uncomfortable. That's the wild goose. And so here we have these three images of the Holy Spirit. The wind tells us the Holy Spirit has power. It guides and course, and you can't do anything except to just go along with it. You can't control when it comes. You can't decide what it is. You can't get to choose. And then we have these two images, the images of the dove and the wild goose. And this is all the Holy Spirit. Yes, the wild goose is a little weird and strange sometimes because the wild goose does whatever it wants. But that's the Holy Spirit too. We can't just be selective and say, I only want the Holy Spirit to show up in the dove. Or, I only want the Holy Spirit to show up when it's the wild goose. By doing that, we're trying to control, manipulate, and be selective in how the Holy Spirit should manifest itself. And so if we know this about the Holy Spirit, then I believe, then what is important is our posture. What should our posture then be towards the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is not someone you can control, not someone you can be manipulated. And the Holy Spirit can come and show itself like a dove or like the wild goose. Regardless of which way the Holy Spirit chooses to manifest, we need then to have a proper posture towards the Holy Spirit. And I believe a proper posture to the Holy Spirit is just simply this word, yield. We yield. That's the best posture that we can be in. That whatever, if the Holy Spirit chooses to show up in the dove, we can all say yes because it's not messy. But if the Holy Spirit chooses to come in the wild goose, we can't just say it's strange. I mean, yeah, it could be strange a little time. It doesn't make sense to us, but it makes perfect sense to God. We should also have a posture of yielding to the Holy Spirit working in that way. It's a posture. Right? In our Alliance Distinctive, we believe this very simple phrase when it comes to the Holy Spirit, expectation without agenda. What that basically means is that you and I, we need to have this posture in which we expect that the Holy Spirit will manifest itself in all the different ways that it chooses to manifest itself. But without a personal agenda and a personal perspective or preference in how the Holy Spirit should manifest itself. That's a proper posture towards the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will come and it's like the wind. You know, you can't contain the wind. You can't tell the wind it should go. You can only allow the wind to take you where it wants to go. And so if the Holy Spirit wants to encounter you and you just feel like crying, go ahead. Right? If the Holy Spirit is convicting you with this overwhelming peace, but you just want those emotional experience, go ahead, receive the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Because that is putting ourselves in the proper posture. When we put ourselves in the proper posture, we're not trying to control the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to dictate how the Holy Spirit should move. Because sometimes I believe we try to contain the Holy Spirit and tell the Holy Spirit when it should come, how it should come, and what it should do. But the Holy Spirit doesn't operate that way. And if you and I believe that the Holy Spirit is so essential for our Christian life, then shouldn't you and I have the proper posture towards the Holy Spirit? Don't get me wrong, the wild goose could be a little strange. It may need a little explaining and a little, you know, clarification on. But if we're just going to totally do away with the wild goose, then we missed a very important part of who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit wants to move and impact us in our life. So our posture towards the Holy Spirit is so important. It's not just about information, but it is about this posture of yielding. When we have this posture of yielding, then you and I are ready for what the Spirit of God can do in our life. I used to coach basketball. And those basketball used to take up like all my Saturdays when I coach. And I coach a 12 and under travel team, right? And what that basically means, I coach a team that we travel to different states and we compete in tournaments. And we're a pretty good team because we won a lot of tournaments. When we go tournaments, usually all those one-day tournaments, I always hope we lose so that I can go home earlier. But we're always one of the last teams there, ending up the game's over at 7, and then I got to drive 4 hours to go home, right? But I love coaching. And I love coaching younger players. By the way, I don't like watching NBA, right? There's only one play in the NBA. It's called isolation, right? But I love coaching the younger players because I get to teach them about the basics and the foundations of playing basketball the right way. And one of the things I teach my players to do is always be in a proper posture to play, right? In basketball, you know, in the game of basketball, there's only two things you can do, offense or defense. But you need to be in a proper posture for both. When it comes to defense, I often teach my players that you need to be in a nice proper posture, nice balanced position, right? Getting low, right? And then shifting your weight, putting more of your weight on your heel, on the tip, right? On the ball of your feet, not on your heels, because when you're on your heels, you're flat-footed. You can't pivot and change directions as quick. But when you're on your toes, you can really snap and really make that move. Because it's important, because if you're not in the proper posture, the defense, offense blows right past by you. But another thing is what we do with our hands, is one hand needs to be up, and the other hand needs to be down. Why? Because one hand needs to contest the shot if the person takes a jump shot. The other hand is down here if they try to cross over, and then you can steal the ball and snatch it out of them. When you're in this posture, you're ready for anything to come. The other posture I like to teach my players when it comes to offense is what is called the triple threat position. The triple threat position is pretty simple. Same thing, you want to make sure you're in a good base, right? Because your foundation is so important. But you want to get in the triple threat position. Which, the reason why it's called triple threat, very simple. You can take the ball, you can pass it, or you take the ball in triple threat position, you can attack the rim. Or you can take a jump shot. When you're in that position, you're ready for something to happen. That's why posture is so important in the game of basketball. And I believe that posture is also so important in life, and also when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Are we in the right posture of the Holy Spirit? Are we in the right posture? Are we in the posture of yielding to the Holy Spirit? Because, let's think about it. If the Holy Spirit is the wind, it comes whenever it pleases, it goes wherever it wants, it does whatever it likes. That's the Holy Spirit. You can't control it. You can't predict it. When it comes, it just comes. And then there's the image of the dove. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's a sense of gentleness, sense of peace, sense of awareness, you can say. And then there's the wild goose, which is pretty messy. Right? It's pretty messy. Just to let you know, when the wild goose comes, it's pretty messy. People can be crying. Yes, it could be that, because God is moving them in the part of their heart that needs to be touched the most, right? It can be something that's just strange, that we have no words to describe it. It could come as just this power that just comes, or it could come as this gentleness that comes. Whatever way that the Holy Spirit chooses to manifest itself, we can't just say, well, I only like the dove because I'm comfortable with it. I can explain it. That's trying to control the wind. That's trying to manipulate the wind. But we also have to be able to say yes to the goose, which is messy, unpredictable. Now, we can't just say, I only want the goose, but I don't want the dove. Then we're always going to be constantly chasing these experiences. The Holy Spirit doesn't just work in one way. The Holy Spirit works in these different ways. And it manifests itself in these different ways. The difference is, what is our posture? What is our posture to the Holy Spirit? Because if we are in the posture of yielding to the Holy Spirit, in whatever way that it chooses to manifest itself, the power of the Holy Spirit will change us. It will bring transformation to us as an individual. That is for sure. The power of the Holy Spirit not only will change us as individuals, the power of the Holy Spirit will change this church. Not only will the power of the Holy Spirit change this church, the power of the Holy Spirit will change the community that our church is in and the people that are in our social circle. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. But we have to be in that posture so that we can be a part of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. For me, one of the ways that I remind myself in how to get into a right posture for the Holy Spirit, I do two things. One of the things I do is I say to myself, come, Holy Spirit, come. Now, when I say these words, it's not like some sort of encampment, like magic that I'm invoking for the Holy Spirit to come. No. It has nothing for me to call out to the Holy Spirit, but it has everything to do to speak to my own soul and my own being, to put myself in that posture to receive the Holy Spirit in whatever way it wants. So I just simply say to myself, Holy Spirit, come. Sometimes the heart's not willing, even though the mind is saying those things. So I got to get the body to go along with it. And what I do is I open up my hands in the posture of receiving. Because if the mind knows and the body starts moving, eventually the heart starts following. And so I do this for myself to get myself in that posture of receiving the Holy Spirit in whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. And I believe that maybe for us, as a church, as an individual, maybe we need to change our posture towards the Holy Spirit. And just simply yield to what the Holy Spirit may do. If we are in the right posture, we're going to encounter God like we have never had before. And it will radically reshape our life and radically reshape our church and our community at large. Would you pray along with me? Holy Spirit, the words that we say is, come, Holy Spirit, come. We say these words, Holy Spirit, to realign our posture to receive what you're doing. We trust that you long to manifest yourself and encounter us in different ways. And we confess, Lord, that we may have only been open to one way. But we want to be open to all of it, your ways. And so we just simply get ourselves ready to put ourselves in that posture by saying, come, Holy Spirit, come. Would you come and meet with us today? Would you reveal yourself in all the different ways that you do? We confess, Lord, that if it's the wild goose, we're a little bit uncomfortable. But when we put ourselves in that posture, we're open to that as well. So we invite you to just have your way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand and sing the response song. Thank you.
Let us pray. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn His face towards you. And as God turns His face towards you, and as the Spirit manifests itself, may you this week have this open and welcoming posture for the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you this week. May you be aware to the different movements of the Holy Spirit this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated and dismissed.